Are we okay? Okay, praise the Lord. We'll go ahead and get started. Actually running a little late, but thank you, Lord. Lord, we just ask. We don't just ask. We ask that you, by your Spirit, would anoint this time, Lord God. Put your blood around this building and over all of our minds that we might be able to hear what you have to say to us today. And Lord, we thank you for it all, and we thank you for this book. In Jesus' name, amen. We were at 59. Everybody agree with that? Okay. I'm going to read this next couple of paragraphs. It says, in those days, mine eyes saw the secrets of the lightnings and of the lights, and the judgments they execute. And they lighten for a blessing or for a curse as the Lord of spirits willeth. And there I saw the secrets of the thunder, how it resounds above the heaven, and the sound thereof is heard. And he causeth me to see the judgments executed on the earth, whether they be for well-being or and blessing or for a curse, according to the word of the Lord of spirits. Now, it's interesting here. You say, well, you know, what exactly is being said here? He's being shown these things, and he's saying that according to the will of God, these things, these lights and the lightnings and the judgments and the thunders and the things that are going on are actually being controlled by God for a blessing for someone or not for a blessing, for judgment. And that everything is being done, even at that level, in this world, according to the will of God. You know, sometimes we think, you know, do you think God really cares about this? Or does he just, you know, I'm telling you right now that he is in everything. And nothing is just going on. And he understands everything. And in some cases, it's for a blessing. In some cases, it's not. And it's up to us to deal with our own minds and our own hearts to make sure that we are in the position that he can bless us and we receive a blessing from him rather than not. Amen? And it says, and after that all the secrets of the lights and lightnings were shown to me, and they lightened for a blessing and for satisfying. Isn't that an interesting word? That he would say that it's a blessing and for satisfying. Satisfying, you know, he's saying that you know, what he knows and what he's heard answers his questions. You know, if somebody asks you a question and they answer it, you know, you may not be satisfied. But when you are satisfied, now you understand why certain things happen. Amen? And I think we're going to find more about this little statement of the lights and the thunders later on and get more understanding. But right here, it's good enough to know that God's hand is in it all. Now, if you look at the bottom of the page, it says, Book of Noah, a fragment. Before I go on to this next section, I want you all to turn to the back of your book. Count in four pages. And it also says on that, that there, and it's 106. You see 106? Go either way, you need to find 106. Fragment of the Book of Noah, written on that page. Everybody there? Everybody happy? Everybody satisfied? Now, I'm going to read this out of order, or at least out of order within the book, because I want you to understand a little something about Noah and who he is and how God sees him and how he became the one that God chose. It says, and after some days, my son Methuselah took a wife for his son Lamech, and she became pregnant by him and bore a son. Now, Methuselah is the son of Enoch. Okay? And so this is, Lamech is the grandson, and Lamech, Lamech had a son, which would have been the great-grandson. And his body was white as snow and red as a blooming rose. And the hair of his head and his long locks were white as wool. And his eyes beautiful. And when he opened his eyes, he lighted up the whole house like the sun. And the whole house was very bright. And thereupon he arose in the hands of the midwife, opened his mouth, and conversed with the Lord of righteousness. Now, I know we all thought our kids were special, but my kids didn't do this. Okay. The bottom line is, what we're seeing here is something very, very special. Now, you know, there's a term in the English, use it all the time, for a complexion, and they call it basically, peaches and cream. Yeah, you have a peaches and cream. In other words, your cheeks are red, and you've got this real white, fair complexion. I think that's what's being said here when he says he's white. Now, this is a little different than everybody else up to that point in time. If you look up the word Adam, what does it mean? Anybody know what Adam means? The actual word Adam? Okay, it means red. And so Adam and his wife Eve and all of the sons and everybody that was coming out had a red complexion, a ruddy, reddish complexion. And so this didn't seem right that you would get this. His eyes were not dark. Okay, he didn't have dark eyes. He didn't have the red skin. And his hair was white like the snow or like wool. Okay, and he came out of the womb that way, but he came out with a very special person that when he would look at people, he would light the room up. Now, you know, that's pretty heavy stuff. Pretty heavy stuff. Let's keep reading. And his father, Lamech, was afraid of him. Amen. And fled and came to his father, Methuselah, and said unto him, I have begotten a strange son, diverse and unlike man. Why? Because he's different color. And resembling the sons of the God of heaven. And his nature is different, and he is not like us, and his eyes are as the rays of the sun, and his countenance is glorious. He's saying, it ain't mine. Okay? I've just had a son that doesn't look anything like anybody I know. More akin to God or the sons of God, the angels. And I fear that in his days a wonder may be wrought on the earth. Now, when he says a wonder, something crazy is going to happen because of what's gone on here. That something is going on. And it scares him. I fear this may be wrought on the earth. And now, my father, I am here to petition thee and implore thee that thou mayest go to Enoch, our father, and learn from him the truth, for his dwelling place is amongst the angels. Now, they knew where he was at. They knew that Enoch was dwelling, it says, on the edge of the earth, at the ends of the earth, with the camp of the watchers. We've read that already. That he was actually just, he hangs out and lives and eats and is in the camp of the angels, the watchers. And there he was learning how to be a scribe. This is where Enoch is. And he said, you know, can you go get a hold of Grandpa? He lives with the angels and ask him, what on earth is going on here? I'm really scared. And when Methuselah heard the words of his son, he came to me, Enoch, to the ends of the earth, for he had heard that I was there. And he cried aloud, and I heard his voice, and I came to him. And I said, behold, here am I, my son. Wherefore hast thou come to me? And he answered and said, because of a great cause of anxiety have I come to thee, because of a disturbing vision have I approached.
Just hold on a minute. Does everybody have that page that says every reason
Well, then listen close. No, go. Some pages are missing. Hey, the price was right. Anybody else need one? Thank you, Linda. This way they won't think I'm making it up. It's the third page from the back of the book. I'm trying to find out where I was just at. Okay, let's see. And he says, I have approached you because of a disturbing vision. And now, my father, hear me. Unto Lamech, my son, there hath been born a son, and the like of whom there is none. And his nature is not like man's nature. Now, it's interesting. I'm going to say this because the nature of man is what everything is about. Adam's nature was different until he sinned. And then when Adam and Eve sinned, their very nature became enos. Okay, and that's the word in the Hebrew for man. They became man. And that word is enos, and it means to be deceitfully wicked, incurably sick. Now, you've heard the heart described that way in the Old Testament. That, you know, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Well, that is describing the nature of men. And they're saying here that his nature doesn't seem to be like the nature of his parents. And the color of his body is whiter than snow and redder than the bottom of a rose. And never mind. And the hair of his head is whiter than white wool. And his eyes are like the rays of the sun. And he opened his eyes and thereupon lighted up the whole house. And he arose in the hands of his midwife, opened his mouth and blessed the Lord of heaven. And his father Lamech became afraid of him, fled him, and did not believe that he was sprung from him, but that he was in likeness of the angels of heaven. And I beheld, I come to thee, that thou mayest make known to me the truth of the situation, what's going on. And I, Enoch, answered and said unto him, the Lord will do a new thing on the earth. And this I have already seen in a vision, and make known to thee that in the generation of my father Jared, some of the angels of heaven transgressed the word of the Lord, and behold, they commit sin and transgress the law, and have united themselves with women, and commit sin with them, and have married some of them, and have begot children by them, and they shall produce on the earth giants. Not according to the spirit, but according to the flesh. And there shall be a great punishment on the earth, and the earth shall be cleansed from all impurity. Yea, there shall come a great destruction over the whole earth, and there shall be a deluge and a great destruction for 1 year. And this son who has been born unto you shall be left on the earth, and his three children shall be saved with him, when all mankind that are on the earth shall die. And now make known to thy son Lamech that he who has been born is in truth his son, and call his name Noah, for he shall be left to you, and he and his sons shall be saved from the destruction which shall come upon the earth on account of all the sins and all the unrighteousness which shall be consummated, brought to an end, on the earth in his days. Any questions? Intercourse. Men, people, well. They are so closely related. Angels and men are so closely related genetically that they can obviously have intercourse. Now, here's the problem. That, yes, they had children, and they called them giants. That's the word Nephilim. And those giants, those children, they came out as children, but they quickly grew and are overlarge and are a breed unto themselves. And, yeah, we did cover it in the earlier studies. But the fact that they were basically delinquent, they went rogue, they began to kill people, eat everything, drink blood, and do all kinds of things as these mutant children of these women by angels. Okay? Yes, yeah. But see, you have to understand that angels are flesh. Yeah, no, an angel. When Jesus went, he received a glorified body, a different body. It's part spirit, but it's also flesh. They were able to come up and put their fingers in his side and show him the handprints. He's a man. But he's also got a spiritual nature. And when we are resurrected, it says you're going to be changed so that you can travel in the spirit, be in the spirit, do spiritual things, yet you're still a man. And you're going to receive a glorified body. Angels essentially have a glorified body right now. And they're able to do those things. Now, the idea that they saw these young women, these young girls, being born to men, and lusted after them, and that's what it said they did. They lusted and said, let's go and have this relationship with them. And they fathered this race of Nephilim, giants. And the thing is that we're going to find out in here that there's not just one kind of Nephilim, one kind of giant. There's multiple kinds, and they come out all in different forms and different ways. Angels are very special beings, okay? And they were treated very special by God. They were given a special place in heaven. When he judged them in this book, and we've read it already, he said, you were given an eternal life, living an eternal life, and now you have forfeited that to go and do this with these women, because now you're going to be judged. And The bottom line is it is possible, because they're not always etheric. They're flesh and blood, just like, and they have DNA just like we do, only they are beyond. See, this account right here, when I read it the first time, made me go study genetics. And I started studying genetics. I said, I want to know about DNA. I want to know all about this stuff, because this is pretty heavy stuff. That's what, and so I started to study genetics, and I found out that that everything in this world that's alive, 99% of its DNA is identical to everything else. Only 1% of the DNA is different. You've got a worm over here, and he's crawling along. DNA-wise, he's 99% what you are. That is a shock to me. Okay, but that 1% is a very large variable worth of things. Okay, and I also found out that basically, if you had a dog, no matter what he looks like, big dog, little dog, every dog, you cannot tell those dogs apart by their DNA. Their DNA is identical. It comes out, it looks identical in every way. And you say, well, yeah, but they're dogs, they're completely different. But men are the same way. All of our DNA, everybody in here, we have the same DNA. We have the same DNA, and you cannot tell race by DNA. You can't tell anything. You can't tell sex by DNA. But what you can do, and this is what people do when they want to identify, they say, you're born of these people, or this is your father, is that they can look at specific markers. DNA is a set of genomes. And those genes are either latent, turned off, active, turned on, and then if they're turned on, they can be adjusted like a scale, more or less of anything that's in there. And they can take those things and figure out. And when people are procreating, you take two of these that are on and off, on and off, on and off, and you put it all together, and you come up with something a little bit different. And that's basically, you say, well, gosh, he has my nose and, you know, this type of thing. And it's because of the DNA, the active, inactive. But there's also, of course, is what they call junk DNA, and this is DNA that is non-coded. The non-coded DNA, basically, they don't know what it's good for. They don't know what it does, how it would change us. It's not coded into anything that makes us what we are, according to them. And it's about 13% of your DNA is not coded to anything, and they don't know. And there, you know, some people say, oh, it's just not needed. And other people say, yeah, it's been turned off for a reason. And then some people just say, well, it's not real. It's an interesting study because, you know, doctors don't ever agree with each other. Researchers don't agree with each other. But the bottom line is that when Adam fell, Adam and Eve, who they were got changed. Who they were before that, they were immortal. They weren't going to die. Death had not entered in. Our DNA today has things turned off, adjusted, and done whatever. That's why today there's such a fascination with DNA and genetics in this world, because they're trying to fix us. They're trying to turn things back on so we can go back. God brought to Adam all of the animals of the world, walked them by, and he named them. I mean, think of that. To find a spatial name for everything that there is, I couldn't do it. I'd get to about 10 animals, and I'd have to start using numbers. This is 6, this is 7, this is 8. You know, that's because we can't do it. Every now and then, we see someone, a savant or somebody like that, that has the ability to, like, look at the New York telephone book, read it, close it up, and it's memorized. And you give them a name, and they'll tell you what page, what line, and what their phone number is. Okay, that's not natural. But it is capability. In other words, God made us to be glorified, made us to be very, very special, to be capable of having a relationship with the living God. He wasn't looking for a dog. He was looking for an equal to come and sit down with him and talk to him and understand. And he wanted to teach Adam everything. And he wanted to bring him through piece by piece until he had someone that he could trust and could sit with and whatever. And of course, you know that the angels had already fallen. Satan, God says that Lucifer was perfect in every way until iniquity was found in him. His thoughts went bad. He didn't actually do anything. He started thinking wrong, and God knew what he was thinking. And iniquity had entered into his heart, and he had to judge him. And then the sin came out where he drew along all these other ones and they came down. Okay? So, these angels wanted to have a relationship with a wife. They saw that men did and they wanted the same. And they chose to say, yes, we'll step down. We'll leave our first estate and we will come down. And they left heaven, it says, and they descended upon Mount Hebron. And, not Hebron, Hermon. And came down and made a deal, went off and got these young women. And that's what brought us to this point here. Yeah. Or what? That's all we... That's a good point. I make that point on my video. I make that point on my video that female angels are not found in the Bible anywhere. Okay? But it's pretty obvious from this that he says, I gave you, instead of wives, I gave you eternal life and a position in my kingdom and no wife. He says, men are fallen. If I don't allow them to procreate and go ahead and have children, they're going to die in one generation and they'll be gone. But I don't want that. I want to give them wives. And so he said, I gave them wives so they could have a society until such time that I could redeem them back to me. And that's the reason that we have wives and they do not. But the idea that they can't have wives, just the fact that God only talks about the angels in heaven anywhere in the Bible or here in terms of what is around the throne. We never see anything about the angels in heaven that are not around the throne. We know that there's 100 million angels. And they're not always around the throne. Those 100 million angels are off doing all kinds of things. And the idea is that at least the ones that are around the throne and are in God's service are segregated to God. And those are not given in marriage. He says that when you go to heaven, you will be just like the angels in heaven. You will not be given in marriage. You will not have wives there because of your position before the throne, your position with God. God's not going, I believe that truly the angels were allowed or not allowed to have wives in the presence of the Lord simply because there was a relationship there that has been broken. It's been broken. But, you know, this is what we're saying here. So I think that they're capable of having a relationship with women. Okay? Now where was I? That was an easy one to answer. Well, no, that's a misnumbering. He goes 14, 17, 15, 16, 18. Yeah, here it says, united themselves with women and commit sin with them, and have married some of them and begotten children by them, and they shall produce on the world, on the earth, giants, not according to the spirit, but according to the flesh. And there shall be a great punishment on the earth, and the earth shall be cleansed of all impurity. Yea, there shall come a great destruction over the whole earth, and there shall be a deluge and a great destruction for 1 year. And this son who has been born unto you shall be left on the earth. His three children shall be saved with him when all mankind on the earth shall die. And now make known to thy son Lamech that he who has been born is in truth his son, because of just got different genes turned on. He's got different genes turned on than him or his wife. And God can do that. then turn on different genomes, and he comes out, and he looks different. He's got different skin tone, different hair, different eye color, everything. You've got to remember that after the flood, all the nations and all the races of everything from white to black come out of three sons and Noah. And so here's why. Because God is able to take that. And, you know, they talk about, you know, broadening the gene pool. God just broadened the gene pool. Actually, the gene pool is exactly the same for everybody. But what's turned on and what's turned off is what's different. And after that, there shall be still more unrighteousness than that which was consummated on the earth. For I know the mystery of the holy ones, the angels. For he, the Lord, has shown and informed me, and I have read them in the heavenly tablets. Now, when he says after this, there's still more unrighteousness, he's referring to what's happened after the flood. He says, yeah, there's going to be the destruction, and these guys are going to go through. But after that, there's still going to be more. And I know the mysteries of the holy ones. They're in the holy tablets. And I saw written on them, 107, and I saw written on them, that generation upon generation shall transgress till a generation of righteousness arises, and a transgression, and transgression is destroyed, and sin passes away from the earth, and all manner of good comes upon it. And now, my son, go and make known to thy son Lamech that this son, which has been born, is in truth his son, and that this is no lie. And when Methuselah heard the words of his father Enoch, for he had shown to them everything in secret, he returned and showed to them, and called the name of that son Noah, for he will comfort the earth after the destruction. Okay. I wanted you to hear that, so that you can understand that God's hand, Noah wasn't just somebody that, you know, in the Bible it says that he was a righteous man. God saw that he was a righteous man and gave him favor and whatever. But see, there's really more going on here than just God saying, you know, I like you, Noah. You're a good kid. Okay. You're going to make it through. Your brothers and your sisters and everybody else in your family is going to die. Okay. But really what he was saying is that I have a plan. My plan is written down in a set of books, heavenly tablets, heavenly scriptures, if you will. And we hear that, we read that in Daniel and other places, that there's a set of scriptures, books in heaven. And in those books, it's written that what's going to happen all the way down to the very end. But in the meantime, I'm not going to make a full end of all men. I'm going to bring you through. Through this deluge, and from you, from your loins out, shall all the nations come. Every one of us is come from there. We're all brothers and sisters. From this very point in time, we all carry the DNA. We all, regardless of which one of the brothers we come through, okay, no matter what particular genomes are turned on or turned off, or whether, you know, the height genome is a little lower for me than it is for Walt. No, I'm serious. That's what it's all about. And God makes us in all shapes and sizes, and allows us, and we procreate, and He looks down, and He looks down with love, and He cares for us, and He's gone through great extremes to make it possible that we can have a relationship with the living God. Praise the Lord. Now we'll go back and go ahead and pick up back here where we ended. But I wanted you to understand that what this book says about Noah. We're at 60. The quaking of heaven, behemoth and leviathan, the elements. It says, in the year 500, in the seventh month, on the 14th day of the month, in the life of Enoch, So Enoch is in his 500th year. We should all be so lucky. And he's a young man. Back in those days. And by the way, a year was a year. Okay? Because Enoch has a calendar and he tells us what a year is. He tells us how many days are in it and the whole shot. He tells us everything because people say, well, you know, they didn't know what a year was. And so they counted things differently. But they didn't count things differently. They were accurate. And a year was a year was a year to Enoch. And this was in his 500th year. Now, I will say this, that it's pretty obvious that they weren't living under the same conditions we are today. That the world and the way the world was different. And it wasn't until the flood came and things were all scrambled up and the world became. When you look at a chart of the lifespans, biblical lifespans, Noah comes through the flood, his sons are born, that are born on that side, come through the flood and live a long time. And then all of a sudden, everybody starts living less and less and less and less time. The Shem, his son, which was 100 years old when the flood came, just a kid, 100 years old when the flood came, lived longer than Abraham. Okay? He was still around when Abraham was around. Abraham, Isaac, both died before Shem. I got to bring the charts, yes. I have charts where I actually scale it out, and then all of a sudden you go, and you can just see it go shorter and shorter and shorter until, you know, when we say things like, you know, someone's 100 years old. You know, Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. And we think, well, that was really old. And they thought it was old too. But it wasn't old at all. There were people didn't even start having their kids. You know, they lived it up for a while before they had kids. Boy, they not only was it a long time ago and they lived longer, they were smarter. Praise God. They were the lineage.
But also it said that only unrighteous could die in the flood. And now we look at your chart, Methuselah and Lamech, who died the year of the flood, were not in the flood.
They were not killed by judgment.
Right before the flood, they were never drowned in the flood.
Yeah, literally. I think Methuselah died the year the flood came. So he lived right up to the. Yes, exactly, and then they went into the ark and the flood came.
So he didn't have to see any of his own family.
Okay, in the life of Enoch, in that parable, I saw a mighty quaking that made the heaven of heavens to quake. Now, who is the I here? I'm telling you right now, this I is Noah, not Enoch. This is something that you won't know until you get down here a ways. But it's saying that this is happening in this year of my Enoch's life, but I saw the mighty place. And how the Most High and the angels, thousands and 10,000 times 10,000 were disquieted with a great disquiet, and the head of day sat on the throne of his glory, and the angels and the righteous stood around him. The angels and the righteous, that's the church. And a great trembling seized me, and fear took hold of me, and my loins gave way and dissolved in my reins, and I fell on my face. You'd do the same thing. You would say, I'm undone. I am done. And you would fall down and just go, God, you know, do whatever you got to do. I am seeing things I shouldn't see. And Michael sent another angel from among the holy ones, and he raised me up. And when he had raised me up, my spirit returned, for I had not been able to endure the look of this host, and the commotion and the quaking of the heaven. And Michael said unto me, why art thou disquieted with such a vision? Until this day lasted the day of his mercy. And he hath been merciful and long-suffering towards all those who dwell on the earth. Ah, this is the day of God's judgment. Michael said, hey, he's been merciful clear up till now. And when the day and the power and the punishment and the judgment come, which the Lord of spirits hath prepared for those who worship not the righteous law, for those who deny the righteous judgment, for those who take his name in vain, that day is prepared for them. For the elect, it's a covenant. A covenant. We have a covenant with God. There's the old covenant of the Old Testament, and there's a new covenant. Our covenant is a covenant of Melchizedek. Jesus came after the order of Melchizedek. He is not a Levite. It was not a Jewish thing. It goes all the way back to Melchizedek, who was probably Shem. Okay? I'll get into that if we look at the charts. But for the sinners, an inquisition. Boy. Black and white. God saying, I'm sorry. God tells us in the Bible that he puts the goats on one side and the lambs on the other. My sheep and my goats. This is exactly the same thing. A covenant for the elect and for the sinners and inquisition. When the punishment of the Lord of spirits shall rest upon them, it shall rest in order that the punishment of the Lord of spirits may not come in vain. And it shall slay the children with their mothers and the children with their fathers. Afterwards, the judgment shall take place according to his mercy and his patience. And on that day, two monsters parted. A female monster named Leviathan, to dwell in the abyss of the ocean, over the fountains of the waters. But the male is named Behemoth, who occupied with his breast a waste wilderness named Dudane. And I suspect, in studying this, that this is probably the wilderness of Dudael, which was the place where Azazel was taken off, and they said, go to the wilderness of Dudael and put a hole there. I think this is probably the same place. On the east of the garden where the elect and righteous dwell, where my grandfather was taken up, the seventh from Adam. Okay? Whose grandfather? Noah's grandfather was taken up, the seventh from Adam. The first man whom the Lord of spirits created, which was Adam. And I besought the other angel that he should show me the might of these monsters, how they were parted on one day, and cast the one into the abyss of the sea and the other into dry land of the wilderness. And he said to me, thou son of man, herein thou dost seek to know what is hidden. In other words, hey, it's hidden. And the other angel who went with me and showed me what was hidden told me what is first and last in the heaven, in the height, and beneath the earth, in the depth, and at the ends of the heaven. In other words, the other guy told me. And on the foundations of the heaven and the chambers of the winds, and how the winds are divided and how they are weighed, and how the portals of the winds are reckoned, each according to the power of the wind and the power of the lights of the moon, and according to the power that is fitting, and the division of the stars according to their names, and how all the divisions are divided, and the thunders according to the places where they fall, and all the divisions that are made among the lightnings, that it may lighten, and their host, that they might at once obey. For the thunder has places of rest, which are assigned. And while it is waiting for appeal, and the thunder and the lightning are inseparable, although not one and undivided. they both go together through the Spirit and separate not. For when the lightning lightens, the thunder utters its voices, and the Spirit enforces a pause during the peal and divides equally between them. For the treasury, treasury of their peals is like the sand, and each one of them, as it peals, is held in with a bridle and turned back by the power of the Spirit and pushed forward according to the many quarters of the earth. He is giving you and I a synopsis of what he has said, but it's not enough that you and I, maybe you can figure that out real easily, and it all made sense like I was reading something off the back of a cereal box, but it wasn't that clear to me. Okay, I mean, I'm hearing what he's saying, but it's hard for me to comprehend specifically how it's coming out or what exactly is going on here. And, yeah. Yeah, this was called a parable. When he started talking about this, he called it a parable. And a parable, it has a parabolic meaning. In other words, it's a parable. A parable is the story of one thing to understand another. And I think that this is that by calling these two huge forces, even today, if you watch the Weather Channel or the Science Channel, everything we think of is either something going on in the air or in the earth. And they're sometimes they're diametrically opposed, they're not alike, but you either have an earthquake going on or a tsunami going on, something going on in the depths of the sea and the power of the sea, and then by the same token, then all of a sudden you have everything that is in the atmosphere around and all the weather and everything that's going on there and the lightning and the clouds and the blowing of the winds. And these two things are separated one from the other and they're diametrically opposed at times and things. I mean, it just gets rough.
The male is named Bathsheba, and then on 16, it says the spirit of the earth is most masculine.
Yes. So, yes, that's exactly. I wasn't going to say that they fight like men and women do. But since you brought it up. But that's the truth. Yeah, this is the male and female. You don't want to get into male and female stuff necessarily. But these things are opposites to each other. Okay? And he's saying that they were separated on this day, and now you've got things going on above and things going on below, and they're like monsters. Just watch the Weather Channel. I mean, right now they've got monsters going on. You know, we got flooding back east. We got all kinds of things going on. And then when there's an earthquake, you know, they get right into the middle of it and they watch it. You got a volcano. Okay, yeah, I mean, all of these things are going on. So, and it talks about them being related, but it also talks about these things being controlled. This is what's amazing, because it says that the might of his strength, he draws it back with a rein. It's enough. You wonder why, when there's a storm and there's a house left, and everything else around it's completely gone, they just say, wow, isn't that remarkable? They don't stop to think there might be a reason for that. There might be a reason that God put his hand over it, that God's angels came in and said, that's enough, not this way. Stop. You might have a fire approaching your house, and God puts his hand out and stops it, Gary. Yeah, he had that situation take place, didn't you? Yes. Yeah, that's. Yeah. You mean in terms of I can't answer that, because if I did, Job would just laugh at me. I'm serious. I don't know, but I know that there are women in heaven today that are still women. Okay? And because people who have been there and have seen the men and the women that have gone to heaven, the idea of our sexual connotations we have down here all dissolve. Okay? That it just doesn't happen. And that's part of being changed. And of course, when you go to heaven right now, your body doesn't go to heaven. Your body goes in the grave. Okay? Or wherever it goes. It does not go to heaven. Your spirit goes to heaven and your soul. So everyone that's in heaven right now have spirit bodies. They are not there in the flesh yet. On the day of resurrection, that's all going to change. On the day of resurrection, then the bodies, the sea yields up the bodies. All of the earth yields up the bodies. And they're changed in a twinkling of an eye. And then the dead shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be changed just like they are, so that we have this glorified body and etc. But right now, those, everybody that I know. So I can't really say whether God, I suspect between, just if I had to, well, first of all, I wouldn't stake my life on it. But if I had to hazard a guess, I would say that there are female angels in heaven. Because God talks about them leaving their first estate, all that they had been given, and coming down. And I think that that's probably true. But those who are in the temple of God, in the right in worshiping and ministering to God, that's not the case. That location, those angels are not given in marriage. That's just my opinion, but take it for what it's worth. Okay? But I can't base that on anything other than this, what I might think. Okay? You got that? It's on the tape? I don't know. Okay. Well, I don't want people saying, you know, Alan Bonk said that there are female angels in heaven, but I suspect there are. But, you know. And the spirit of the snow, no, we weren't that far. And the spirit of the sea is masculine and strong, and according to the might of his strength, he draws back with the rain, and in like manner is driven forward and disperses amid the all the mountains of the earth. And the spirit of the hoarfrost is his own angel, and the spirit of the hail is a good angel, and the spirit of the snow he hath forsaken in his chambers on account of his strength. There's a special spirit therein, and that which ascends from it is like smoke. It is named, its name is frost. And the spirit of the mist is not united with them in their chambers, but has a spatial chamber, for its course is glorious both in light and in darkness, and in winter and in summer, and its chamber is an angel. And the spirit and the dew of the dew has its dwelling at the ends of heaven. Let's see what time it is. Yeah, ends of heaven, and is connected with the chambers of the rain. And its course is in winter and summer, and its clouds and the clouds of the mist are connected. And this one gives to the other, and when the spirit of the rain goes forth from its chamber, the angels come and open up the chamber and lead it out. And when it is diffused over the whole earth, it unites with the water of the earth, and whensoever it unites with the water on the earth, for the waters are for those who dwell on the earth, for they are nourishment for the earth from the Most High who is in heaven. Therefore, there is a measure for the rain. And the angels take it in charge. And these things I saw towards the garden of the righteous. And the angel of peace who was with me said to me, these two monsters prepared conformably to the greatness of God shall feed. So, this is the way God made it. This is what God intended. he says these two great forces above and below us, and we're halfway, we're caught in between. And then, of course, he says all of this the angels are in charge of. All of this is being spiritually controlled by God through those who do his bidding and do his will. Amen? Okay, let's take a break and then come back. D1, right? Okay. I saw in those days how long cords were given to those angels, and they took to themselves wings and flew. And they went towards the north, and I asked the angel, saying unto him, why have those angels taken these cords and gone on? And he said unto me, they have gone to measure. And the angel who went with me said unto me, these shall bring the measure of the righteous, and the ropes of the righteous to the righteous, that they might stay themselves on the name of the Lord of Spirits forever. Now, obviously, I don't think you got that they were going to give you a rope so you could hang yourself, or a rope that you can tie yourself up, or tie yourself to a post so you don't blow away. I think this is talking parabolically again about these angels supporting men at a time. And they've gone out to measure or to find. Now, what he was seeing, I think, was something, and he's describing it in the best way he can, and the words that come to us are ropes, ties, binds. And they're saying that he's gone off, and they've gone off to find or to measure. And the reason I say part of that is because of what goes on next. That they may stay themselves. The elect shall begin to dwell with the elect, and those are the measures which shall be given to faith, and which shall strengthen the righteous. You know, we talked about today upstairs. He says, you know, we've got to become one. We've got to begin to support each other. I think that's what's being said here. They begin to dwell, the elect with the elect. And these measures shall reveal all the secrets of the depths of the earth and those who have been destroyed by the desert. There are people who have died in the desert. You ever wondered about that? You know, they stumble across somebody's bones every now and then. And they say, you know, I wonder who he was. Well, they're going to know who he was. God knows who he was. And those who have been devoured by the beasts, okay? A beast eats it and scattered it around. You don't know anything about it. God does. And those who have been devoured by the fish of the sea. You fall overboard and never see him again. Does God forget who he is? No. It's revealed. The angels go out they with their cords and they figure out who it was. That they may return and stay themselves on the day of the elect one. They'll come back into their proper relationship and be resurrected just like everybody else on the day of the Lord when he calls them. And this is the elect one, which is not the Lord of Spirits, but the Messiah, Jesus himself. For none shall be destroyed before the Lord of Spirits. Don't worry about it. You know, we all wonder, you know, what if I die and nobody can find me? Well, it's okay. And then it says, and none can be destroyed. There is no way in God's creation of all of the cells and all of the atoms and all of everything that's here that God is going to lose you or anyone else, whether they die in the sea or anywhere else. Amen? No, we know that the sea will give up its dead. We know that from the book of Revelations. And all who dwell above in heaven received a command and power and one voice and one light like unto fire. And that one with first words they blessed and extolled and lauded with wisdom, and they were wise in utterance in the spirit of life. And the Lord of Spirits placed the elect one on the throne of glory. Okay, so now Jesus, the elect one, is on the throne of glory. And he shall judge all the works of the holy above in heaven. He's a judge. We know that. And in the balance shall their deeds be weighed. And when he shall lift up his countenance to judge their secret ways, according to the word of the name of the Lord of Spirits, and their path, according to the way of the righteous judgment of the Lord of Spirits, then shall they all with one voice speak and bless and glorify and extol and sanctify the name of the Lord of Spirits. When he judges, he knows their secret ways. He knows their secret paths when they snuck out the back, tried to do this, tried to do that. Nothing is getting away. He knows it. I remember one time my son, we were at church, and he was sneaking out of church over there in Arvada. And I just happened to look out a window before I was getting ready to do a class. And there's my son going through the field away from the church when he isn't supposed to. And he stops and he turns around and he looks back to see if anybody's looking. And I thought, he has no idea. I can see him perfectly. Nobody gets away with anything. The Lord knows. And he will summons all the host of heavens and all the holy ones above and the host of God, the cherubic, the seraphim, and the ophanim, all the angels of power and all the angels of principalities. Those are three different types or classes of angels. The cherubs, the seraphim, and the ophan. Now the ophans are those round. I don't know if we went through these here yet or not. Okay, I'll make sure that next week I'll bring some slides and we can look at what an ophan looks like. Okay, they're the wheel within the wheel for Ezekiel. That's that word. And all the angels of power and all the angels of principalities and the elect one and the other powers on the earth and over the water on that day shall rise one voice. And bless and glorify and exalt the spirit of faith, and in the spirit of wisdom, and the spirit of patience, and the spirit of mercy, and the spirit of judgment, and of peace, and the spirit of goodness. Any comments on that? You know, God talks about the spirits of God. And I didn't count those. How many are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Amazing. The seven spirits of God. And shall all say with one voice, blessed is he, and may the name of the Lord of Spirits be blessed forever and ever. All who sleep not above in heaven shall bless him. In other words, everybody that's alive. And the holy ones who are in heaven shall bless him. And the elect who dwell in the garden of life. And every spirit of light who is able to bless and glorify and extol and hallow thy blessed name. And all the flesh shall beyond measure glorify and bless thy name forever and ever. For great is the mercy of the Lord of Spirits, for he is long-suffering, and all his works and all that he has created, he has revealed to the righteous and elect in the name of the Lord of Spirits. You know, the Lord left Abraham. And as he was leaving Abraham, he turned to one of the other angels and he says, should I tell Abraham what I'm up to? He goes, I think I will. I think I'll reveal to Abraham what I'm up to. And then he sat down and said, "Here's where we're going. Here's what's going on." And I think that he does reveal. It says, I do nothing except I reveal it unto the prophets. See, God really wants to share what he's up to, but he's not going to share it with a blabbermouth. Okay, someone who, I mean, so what you get, you can't mess up. He's not going to give you something that you could mess up. In the name of the Lord of Spirits. Now, this next one, 62, is the judgment of the kings and the mighty. Thus the Lord commanded the kings and the mighty and the exalted and those who dwell on the earth, and said to them, open your eyes and lift up your horns that ye may be able to recognize the elect one. So now he's got all these guys, and he says, lift up your horn, lift up your head, look at me. Are you able to recognize the elect one? And the Lord of Spirits seated him, the elect one, on the throne of his glory, and the Spirit of righteousness was poured out upon the elect one. And the Lord and the word of his mouth slays all the sinners. Boy, I mean, Revelation says that literally, by the words of his mouth, he is going to fight them and slay them. And all the unrighteous are destroyed before his face. And there shall stand up in that day all the kings and the mighty and the exalted and those who hold the earth. Boy, these are the big guys. These are the ones you see on TV, people. And they shall see and recognize how he sits on the throne of his glory. Jesus Christ's glory on the throne. And righteousness is judged before him, the elect one. And no lying word is spoken before him. You can't get away with it. You can't say, I didn't do that. Ain't going to work. Then shall pain come upon them as a woman in travail. Yeah, I bet. When her child enters the mouth of the womb, and she is in pain to bring forth. And one portion of them shall look on the other, and they shall be terrified. You know, they're there, and they're turning around, and they look at each other, and they are terrified, because they now know and recognize the one that's sitting on the throne right up in front of them. And they shall be downcast of countenance, and pain shall seize them when they see the Son of Man sitting on the throne of his glory. When they see Jesus Christ, they are going to be very, very downcast. Boy, what an understatement. And the kings, okay, these are the guys you see on TV all the time. How about the UN? Did you see all the UN guys strutting around? They're here. And the kings and the mighty and all who possess the earth, all the nations, shall bless and glorify and extol him who rules over all, who was hidden. Jesus is hidden. Isn't that an amazing thing? All the way back there, back in Enoch's time, they knew he was hidden, but he would be revealed in the end. For from the beginning, the Son of Man was hidden. And the Most High preserved him in the presence of his might and revealed him to the elect. You and I know him. We know Jesus. We know who he is. We know what he's going to do. We believe it. And the congregation of the elect and holy shall be sown, and all the elect shall stand before him on that day. And all the kings and the mighty and the exalted and those who rule the earth shall fall down before him on their faces. Yes, they are. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess and worship and set their hope upon that Son of Man and petition him and supplicate for mercy at his hands. These guys, these two-faced world leaders and mighty men, are going to start going, oh, Lord, oh, sorry, Lord. And they start to petition him. Nevertheless, that Lord of Spirits will so press them. Now that's God the Father. Shall so press them that they shall hastily go from his presence. They're going to back up. And their faces shall be filled with shame. And darkness grow deeper on their faces. And he will deliver them to the angels for punishment, to execute vengeance on them because they have oppressed his children and his elect. They're doing it right now. They're making fun of you and me. They're making fun of the Jews. They're making fun of anything that belongs to God. They've done this. And they shall be a spectacle for the righteous and for his elect. They shall rejoice over them. The elect will rejoice over them. Because the wrath of the Lord of Spirits resteth upon them. And his sword is drunk with their blood. And the righteous and the elect shall be saved on that day. And they shall never thenceforth see the face of the sinners and the unrighteous. There's a deliverance. There's a separation. And the Lord of Spirits will abide over them. And with that Son of Man shall they eat and lay down and rise up forever and ever. We will be with the Lord. And we will dwell with Him. And He's going to be our God and our King. And we're going to dwell with Him forever. And they'll lie down with Him. And we'll eat with Him. We'll live with the elect one, Son of Man. And the righteous and elect shall have risen from the earth. Oh, what's that? Risen stuff. Okay, we just had a nice talk on the harpazo of the church, the rising of the church, the deliverance of the church. This is it right here. The rapture's in here. And they have risen from the earth and ceased to be downcast countenance, and they shall have been clothed with garments of glory. It says that the white robes are given unto them, etc. in Revelation. Well, here it is. Revelation 19. And these shall be the garments of life from the Lord of spirits. And your garments shall not grow old, nor your glory pass away before the Lord of spirits. In those days shall the mighty and the kings who possess the earth implore Him to grant them a little respite from His angels of punishment. Hey, come on, guys. Cut us some slack here. To whom they were delivered, that they might fall down and worship before the Lord of spirits. Hey, and confess their sins before Him. And that they may bless and glorify the Lord of spirits. And say, blessed is the Lord of spirits. And the Lord of kings. And the Lord of the mighty. And the Lord of the rich. And the Lord of glory. And the Lord of wisdom. Boy, they've got a little bit different language now, don't they? This is what they want to do. Oh, come on, man. And splendid in every secret is thy power from generation to generation, and thy glory forever and ever. Deep are all thy secrets and innumerable, and thy righteousness is beyond reckoning. We have now learnt that we should glorify and bless the Lord of kings and Him who is King over all kings. Oh, they've learnt it now. All of these kings and all of these guys who control the earth. And they shall say, would that we would have rest to glorify and give thanks and confess our faith before His glory. I have a big little note here saying, what faith? They have no faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They've seen it. That's not faith that they know who God is now. It's not faith that they know who Jesus is. They're seeing Him face to face. That's not faith. They say, oh, let us, you know, we'll confess our faith before You. You know, we'll put everything right here. They're still trying to weasel out of it. And now we long for a little rest, but we find it not. We follow hard upon and obtain it not. And light has vanished before us. Outer darkness, remember? And darkness is our dwelling place forever and ever. For we have not believed. We have not believed before Him, nor glorified the name of the Lord of spirits, nor glorified our Lord. But our hope was in the scepter of our kingdom and in our glory. That's what they figured they'd get out of it. And in the day of our suffering and tribulation, He saves us not. Like, boy, He's just not going to help us. And we find no respite for confession that our Lord is true in all His works and His judgments and His justice and His judgments have no respect to persons. Acts 10:34. And we pass away from before His face on account of our works, and all of our sins are reckoned up in righteousness. In other words, it's a good thing that we get punished. It's a righteous thing that we get what we're getting here, but we don't like it. Now shall they say unto themselves, our souls are full of unrighteous gain, but it does not prevent us from descending from the midst thereof into the burden of Sheol. Boy, they said we had everything. We had gain, we had everything, and it doesn't help us now that we're in hell. After that, their faces shall be filled with darkness, shame before the Son of Man, and they shall be driven from His presence, and the sword shall abide before His face in their midst. Thus spake the Lord of spirits. This is the ordinance and the judgment with respect to the mighty and the kings and the exalted and those who possess the earth before the Lord of spirits. I'll keep going. Before the Lord of spirits. And other forms I saw hidden in that place. Other forms. That's interesting. I heard the voice of the angel saying, these are the angels who descended to the earth and revealed what was hidden to the children of men and seduced the children of men into committing sin. In other words, yeah, these guys are there and the mighty of the earth and the rich guys and all the guys that thought they had the world by the tail and everything was just fine and now they're standing before the Lord and they can't get away with anything. Well, guess who else is there? The angels that committed those sins that we've been reading about and talking about, they're there too. And he says, I saw their forms, I saw hidden in that place. They were back in the back probably. And these guys are out, and back in the back are these angels that did all of this stuff. Stop at 65, and that's where we'll pick it up. Amen?